Welcome to the Elevate Media Podcast with your host, Chris Anderson. In this show, Chris and his guests will share their knowledge and experience on how to go from zero to successful entrepreneur. They have built their businesses from scratch and are now ready to give back to those who are just starting. Let's get ready to learn, grow, and elevate our businesses. And now, your host, Chris Anderson.
Welcome back to another recording of the Elevate Media Podcast. I'm Chris Anderson, your host, and we're at a point in life, right? You're trying to build your business. You might got a family. You got friends, possibly. And it just seems like there's so much to do, right? How do we get it all done? And a lot of times, you know, we're just spinning our wheels. We're busy, but we're not productive. And so today we're going to be talking about productivity and how we can get more done in less time to really move that needle, to really elevate our lives, elevate our businesses. And so I'm excited today to have John J.D. Munn on the show today. Welcome, John, to the Elevate Media Podcast, man.
Hey, Chris. Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we were talking a little bit before we hit record. You know, John's quite a traveler. He's been around the world. He's just got back from Thailand. You know, John, where's kind of been your top location to travel to so far?
Oh, man, that's a big question. I recently got back from Kazakhstan.
Oh, wow.
And Kazakhstan, the nature in Kazakhstan was amazing. The cities were a bit polluted, but the nature was like being on the moon or something most of the time. It was so good. But in terms of absolute favorite place,
yeah,
if I had to settle down somewhere, my choice would be Valencia in Spain.
Oh, okay.
I love Valencia. I ended up living there for 2 years, totally unintentionally. I was still intended to travel, but I just loved it so much. It was great.
What do you love about it so much?
Sorry?
What do you love about it so much?
Oh, it's got everything. It's a great size city. So it's about a million and a half people. So it's not one of these hyper cities like London or Tokyo where it's so big it's hard to get around and see people. Uh-huh. It's still small enough and there's bike lanes everywhere so you can cycle around. It's got the beach. It's got mountains and skiing less than an hour away. So you can go on the beach in the morning, then you can go skiing in the afternoon or however you want. And the city is alive. Huh. There's loads going on. There's great architecture. It's got Europe's largest park.
Mm.
So much good stuff. And it's such a good hub to get everywhere else as well and kind of explore. But I love Valencia. It's such a great place to live. There's so much happening, so much life.
That sounds awesome. Like a little bit of everything, you know, anyone can find something good to do. That's real cool. It's funny. I just went to Fort Worth down in Texas here in the U.S. and you know, I'm not a big city person. I don't really necessarily like being in the city. I like space and country and nature. And I mean, walking around Fort Worth, I didn't see really any homeless people. I didn't see, which is unfortunate anywhere, but like I didn't see any homeless people walking around. I didn't see any trash. I didn't see any like graffiti. It was like really clean and pretty and nice. And you could go do things and people were out. It just was different. And I was like, wow, this isn't actually that bad. Like, so yeah, I think that's cool when you have so much going on that you can just have access to and do. And, but that's really like, and you know, that's a crazy thing. So you travel quite a bit, you know, people are probably like, you know, John, how in the world are you traveling all the time? You know, money doesn't grow on trees type of thing. So how do you have the time to be able to travel so much?
I think, it works with any kind of business, which is something that most people are usually skeptical of, but ultimately, having more time in your business boils down to one thing, which is making sure you spend the time that you do have in the business doing the right things. And that sounds, it's an oversimplification, but you don't have to work these 60, 70 hour weeks if the 10, 20 hours a week you spend in the business are spent doing the things that move the needle, are spent doing the things that actually make a difference. So yeah, I travel while I work. But a lot of the time, if I go to a place and I am working at the same time as traveling, not all the time, but sometimes when I do that, I make sure that those few hours that I have in the day, I spend doing the highest priority things, the things that make a difference, the things that move the business forward. And I keep those lessons even when I'm not traveling. Yeah. But if you're going to travel, you need to make sure you're doing the right things. You're doing the things that make a difference.
Yeah, what are those things? What are the main things that move the needle in your business that you focus on?
Yeah, it's different for every business. what works for me and what I need to do is probably different to what you need to do, not only because it's going to be different businesses, but also with different people with different skills. So my strengths will be different to yours. And also we'll be at different stages of the business.
Right.
So I'm at a stage with my business where I've been doing this for years and it's mature and it's stable. And so the thing that I focus on now is more growth. Mm. So for me, a lot of the stuff that I'm doing that are the things that move the business forward are reviewing the systems I've already got in place and making tweaks and improving those systems, because systems are like the engine of your business.
Yeah.
They're the thing that drives it forward. And a lot of people don't realize what systems they have, and they have no idea what steps exist. And so for me, within my business, a small tweak, like changing how often I ask for referrals or changing the wording of my referral emails, makes a big difference in the results that I get back from that. And a lot of that stuff is automated.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that if I look at the system that I've got in place and say, okay, how can I improve this system here? That has an outsized impact, because that engine keeps running even without my time there, but keeps running consistently long term as well. So what's that work that I do while I'm traveling that really makes a difference, that moves the needle? It is improving the systems I've got within the business.
Yeah, the systems are crucial, even if it's a lot of automated systems, or if you actually have people on your team, having systems for people to follow is huge. And, you know, we're in the process here of just improving ours to streamline, to make those simpler. Because I think a lot of times, you know, with productivity and the time that goes into business, we overcomplicate things. We overcomplicate what we have to do and our systems. And if we can just kind of cut the fat, trim the fat, you know, lean and all of that, I think, you know, at least what we found is it makes things a little bit simpler, and you don't have to spend as much time in the business as you used to.
Yeah, definitely. And Chris, you mentioned something right at the start of the podcast. You said, I, John, would be able to help you do more in less time, so you can do things. And I can, and we can do that and kind of automate and do all that, so you can do more in less time. But usually the key is not to do more in less time, it's to do less in less time. And that sounds a bit counterintuitive. People think when they do less that it means that they'll get less out, and that it just isn't the case. It's just as you're saying, if you trim the fat and you stop doing these things that don't really make a difference, you stop doing all these silly things that complicate it, you find that customers tend to be happier, more people sign up, all these kinds of things. And it's by doing less, you actually get more. And it's counterintuitive at first, but when you spot the right things that you need to cut, everything else runs so much more smoothly.
So what are your thoughts on when, you know, there's people out there that say you need to 10x everything. You need to 10x what you're doing, 10x your action, you know, 10x your outreach. Is that not what you're meaning, or is that you can still do that, but do it with less time kind of thing?
Yeah, no, I personally think that's terrible advice. You absolutely should 10x some things.
Okay, yeah.
But if you just 10x everything, you'll find that, okay, a really good example of this is a lot of entrepreneurs, when they start, they will do their own marketing. And when they do their own marketing, they'll have a Facebook page, they'll have a Twitter, they'll have LinkedIn, they'll have YouTube, they'll have Pinterest or whatever else. And if you just 10x and everything, you look at those things, you say, I'm going to do 10 times more of all of those. And it's like, yeah, but you've been running this Twitter or whatever, and you've got 4 followers and no one cares, but you spend in 10 hours a week on Twitter and 10 hours a week on LinkedIn and 10 hours a week on this thing. Where the hell have you got time to run the actual business? Like, where's that coming from? And you're competing against corporations or other businesses that have got an entire team of people just to run the Twitter account. Right. And you're one dude and you think you can compete with that. And it's like, rather than doing everything, throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks, let's find the one or two things that actually have made a difference and actually do make a difference in your business. and let's 10x those. Let's do 10 times more of those things that make a difference and 10 times less of everything else.
Yeah, I agree. I think you have to, especially when you start out, you have to pick the best path to focus on to get good at. You know, for me, when I started, it was the podcast. That was the path. And, you know, we would put it, you know, Instagram, we would post things on there. So like social media wise, that was my path, I should say, when I started, because yeah, you can't do it all. And it's like the parable, the story, you try to chase two rabbits, you catch neither. When you're trying to chase five rabbits, you're definitely not going to catch any of them. So, narrowing it down to like, okay, where's our audience truly at most? And let's get really good there. And as we grow, then you can maybe have somebody help you on the other platforms, or maybe you can allot more time to another platform to build it. But yeah, I would agree. I think starting in one and just focusing there and getting super, super good at that is so important. Yeah. We shiny object syndrome, right? We need to add this, we need to do this. You know, what is your take on the shiny object syndrome?
Yeah, definitely. And I think people act impulsively. And I think a lot of the time that comes from people reacting to things all the time.
Yeah.
That people wake up and what's the first thing a lot of people do? They grab their phone.
Yep.
And when they grab their phone, they're reading the news or they're checking their email or they're replying to customers or whatever it is. And it's you've woken up and the first thing you're doing is just reacting to the world.
Yeah.
Like that's not putting you in a mindset where you're in control.
Right.
Like you're a business owner, man. Like you're in control of your time. You're in control of the business and you need to have that sense of control and you need to be making sure that you're using time and effort and resources and you're controlling where they go and they're going in the right places.
Yep.
And so a lot of the time with the shiny object syndrome, I think because people are such in a reactionary mindset all the time that they see a new thing and they go, oh, my, I need to have that because yeah, that's the thing that's going to make a difference. And so they react to it. And that's a really important lesson that is one of the things that I do with my clients is make sure that first thing we do in a day is proactive. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it only takes 10 minutes, just you're in control and you need to establish that sense of control over yourself and over your time. Yeah. And then we can look at these shiny object things from a clear mind and say, okay, are we in control of this? Are we actually wanting to do that? Why? Or are we just doing it because everyone else is doing it? Are we reacting to the market? Mm-hmm. We always want to be proactive. We want to be in control. We want to be moving in the direction that we know is the right direction.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I hear Alex Hormozi talk about it all the time. You know, people think they're constantly thinking in like the months and the year time frame. But he's like, we need to think in decades. Like, you got to play the big picture. And so if you're playing a bigger picture, and I always, you know, kind of put the imagery of like running a race, running a marathon, things like that. Like, you're not going to sprint from the get-go on a long race because you're not going to make it. And so, like, you got to think, you know, big picture, what does that look like? What actions can I sustain over time to get results and get to where I want to go without, you know, quote unquote, burning out or
trying?
Because if you're trying to do, you know, a certain sport and you're trying to become pro at it and you have, you know, 10 years and you start practicing that sport and then, you know, 5 years or 2 to 5 years into, you're like, oh, this isn't working. I'm not a pro yet. Maybe I could be a pro in this other sport. And you just practicing there, like you're never going to make it because you're just resetting basically and starting all over again.
Yeah, definitely. And people do that. And I think that thinking in decades side of thing is so important, especially for entrepreneurs just starting out. A lot of people don't realize that they end up building their own cage with the business. Mm-hmm. You find a lot of entrepreneurs that have got a business that's doing okay and they're miserable. You know, they're making some money, which was their goal originally, but they've got no time to enjoy it. Right. They're super stressed. They're working for clients that they hate, all these kinds of things. And it becomes a prison and they can't leave. They can't quit the business because it's their baby and they feel responsible and they've got people that rely on them and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they built the business wrong.
Mm.
They built the business incorrectly. They didn't think ahead. And what a lot of people do is when they first start a business, they've only ever been an employee before.
Yep.
They've had a job before. They've done these things. Maybe they've ran one or two businesses in the past, like small things, but they've never been a real business owner before. They might not even know proper business owners. And it's very hard to build something that you don't know what it looks like.
Yeah.
So what people end up building is they make their role as the business owner, they make their role as the entrepreneur into something that looks like a job.
Right.
And as a business owner, what you're supposed to do is quite different to what a normal employee usually should be doing. But people don't realize that. So they start their business and they work 9 to 5 and they do employee type tasks. They reply to these emails. They do this, they do that kind of thing. And they react to everything and they wait for people to tell them what they're supposed to do. And what they've done is they've built themselves a job.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
They built themselves a job, which probably pays less than another job that they could have got. And they've got less freedom as well because they're applying and working with all these clients that they hate. And it's from the start, they didn't think ahead. They didn't think in decades and they didn't have somebody that has done it before. They can say, hey, you don't need to do it like that. Or, hey, this is what business owners do. You know, they don't do that thing. They do this instead. And it's like, oh yeah, of course. But because they've not seen it before, they don't know how to do it like that. So
having that
decade vision and building towards that is so important.
Yeah. And so with that, with people who are trying to think in decades now, they're listening to you talk, they're kind of hearing what you're saying. What are some things that they can do right now to start choosing, you know, what are the productive activities, you know, and what's not needed? How can they kind of flesh that out?
Yeah, there are two great exercises for this that I really believe in. The first one is takes a bit of commitment, but is by far the highest return on investment activity I've seen anybody do in their business, which is simple. It's track your time. If you know what you've spent your time doing in the business, you can then say, hey, I did this thing and I got this thing back. Was that worth it?
Mm.
Was that a good investment of my time? And as any business owner, your biggest cost is your time. And most people don't realize how much time they spend on things. People are terrible at estimating how long a task takes. And so if you're not tracking your biggest cost, how on earth do you think you can assess whether that was worthwhile or not? You don't know what the return on investment is.
Right.
So if from a very basic business point of view, track your time, know what you spend that time doing, and then assess, okay, was that worth doing? Should I do it again? Should I do more of that or less of that? And I use a free tool called Toggle to track my time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one, track your time. That's the first exercise. The second thing is a lot of people don't realize that their time and their energy are linked. And I don't mean that hippie thing of chakra and energy and all that kind of stuff. If you're into that, cool, not for me, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, how it makes you feel after you complete the task. Because people know the phrase, time flies when you're having fun.
Right.
But time also drags when you're doing things that you hate. Like, you're doing this task and you've only been doing it for an hour, but it feels like you've been there for 4 hours and you just can't do it anymore. And we've all got a limited pool of energy that we can draw from in order to run the business. And if you're doing lots of tasks that they might be worthwhile, they might give you a return on investment, but they drain your energy too much. They're the kinds of things that you want to get rid of as quickly as possible. Outsource, automate, or sometimes just drop.
Yep.
But you want to be doing the things that you feel energized by doing because you'll work on the business more. You'll do more within the business and it won't feel like work. You'll be excited to wake up and to actually do the work. And the exercise that we usually do for that, with me and my clients, is we take our calendar and after we've tracked our time and all that kind of thing, we take the calendar and we just highlight activities. Did this take energy or did this give energy? That's it. Did I feel more energized after doing this or less energized? And we go through and we do an energy audit. And we just check and say, okay, yeah, these things we like doing, we should do more of. And they have a return on investment. We can see that from our time tracking. These other things, they have a return on investment, but we hate. So let's think about how can we get rid of those? Yeah. So those two exercises combined together are a really powerful way to know what you should be working on and what you shouldn't be working on.
Yeah, those are, I mean, that's perfect because, you know, if you don't know where your time is going, it's just like, you know, why am I getting fat? Well, track your calories, see what you're eating, see what's causing that to happen, you know, and maybe you're not exercising. So same kind of thing with your time is knowing where it goes, right? Like you said, and then I think knowing, I think it's beautiful how you said it. It's like, you know, the energy that comes after, you know, does it, you know, the lady who does the cleaning, does it bring you joy? Or do you get rid of it? Do you keep it?
And
that's, you know, with my business, I got to the point where I was like, this is, I realized the negative energy that was coming from some of the aspects of it. I was like, I can't, I don't want to continue doing these things. Plus, I know people are better at these aspects than I am too. So it's just a no-brainer. Why not bring someone on to do what I dislike? And they're going to be better anyways, and they're going to, that's what they enjoy doing. So it made perfect sense to outsource and to bring people on the team in those areas first. But you don't know that if you don't like actually think about it. You could just, like, oh, no energy. But what is causing you to have that energy drain? It's not everything.
Yeah. People don't consider that anywhere near enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you think about it, like, you'll realize, oh, that's what, you know, is draining the energy, and then you realize, oh, well, this other thing actually gives me more energy, so I need to do more of that. And if you just actually like take a step back and look at that and think through those moments or in the moment, that's going to really help you put people in place to get you to the next level.
Yeah, 100%. And one of the other things as well is people don't take the time to rest and recharge with stuff, and they don't think about, a lot of people default into activities that they've always done.
Right.
So they do that marketing there because they've always done it there, or they watch TV at night because they've always watched TV at night or whatever. But they don't think about, okay, after I've watched TV, do I feel more rested? Do I feel more recharged? Like, rested and recharging are different things, but what is it that makes me feel most rested?
Yeah.
What makes me feel most recharged? And for me, I love playing sport. And so that's something that, although it doesn't help me feel rested, it helps me feel recharged and I'm ready to go again. So I like doing sport in the morning because then I'm pumped, I'm ready to work, you know?
Yeah.
But if I was just playing a game or watching TV because I'm recharging, like, I wouldn't feel as recharged after an hour of watching TV as I would after an hour of doing sport, you know?
Yeah.
And it's another one of those things that I just looked at the time that I was spending and looked at how I felt before and after and thought about it. I was like, yeah, I should do way more of that stuff. And I should do way less of this other thing, you know, like, and just be intentional. Be intentional with my time.
Yeah. And I think that's a crucial one too. Again, kind of goes back to the different things we hear about building a business, like 10X everything, you know, you put in the 80 hours. And, you know, I think, you know, from my perspective, I think there's a time for it, depending on where you are in business and what life is calling you for. But you can't sustain that. And I think the rest and recharge piece is one that gets glossed over and pushed aside because it doesn't seem like there's a big ROI until your body says, yeah, you haven't rest and recharged for a while. I'm going to shut down on you. And you get sick or you get injured or you just feel terrible. And so I think making that part of your routine is so critical. And like you said, it looks different for everybody. It could be, you know, exercise, it could be sport, it could be whatever it is, but you got to know what actually gets you rest and actually recharges you and implement that. You know, because I used to be under the mindset, just how I was thinking, like, if I take an hour break, everything will collapse. It will all go down. And like, now I'm like, if I take an hour break and it all goes down, I've done something completely wrong. So.
Yeah. 100%. And it's with all those things, if you don't take a break, your body will take it for you.
Yeah.
And it will take 5 times, 6 times longer, 10 times longer if your body takes it for you than if you just did it yourself.
Yep.
And you'll feel worse about it as well, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, having that mindset of, if I stop, everything's going to collapse, is something is terribly wrong here. Like, we need to fix this first. And I totally agree with you that with me, with my clients, my own businesses as well, like, we get everyone to work less than 20 hours a week. Okay. That's a core thing. So I currently average about 12 hours a week on my businesses. My clients average normally between 10 and 20 hours a week. However, I totally agree with you that there is times where you might have to pull a 60-hour week.
Yeah.
And that's normal. It's just that shouldn't be the norm.
Yeah.
You know, if you're working 60 hours, it shouldn't be because some terrible thing has happened and now you have to fix it. It should normally be because you're super pumped at the minute and you're entering what I like to call like a spring within your business, like a growth period. And you're pumped and you know what you're doing. You're building something worthwhile. You're not just doing something that doesn't really move the business. It's just urgent work that somebody else is throwing on your desk. It's stuff that is like, yeah, I'm going to do 60 hours on this and things are going to be fucking great after that. You know, it's going to be so much better after that. But being intentional about those 60 hours that you spent, you know, that shouldn't be the norm and it shouldn't be accidental. It should be something that you're in control of.
Yeah. And a big thing I try to do too with it, because there are times that, you know, you have those things that happen or you're in a sprint or a spring and, you know, trying to find the harmony, like trying to have the joy with it, the excitement, like the fun with it. Cause then it doesn't really seem like you spent 60 hours on it, because it's just kind of like, it's just there, like it just happened. Like it was just part of life. It was part of, you know, your day and week. And it's just like, oh, I feel great. Like that was awesome. Like, you know, it wasn't draining 60 hours, like you're saying, and they're trying to have that harmony where, you know, you can give yourself grace. I can go take my kids to the zoo if I want for a couple hours, like, but still having the grind, quote unquote, the grind in that week, that time frame. It's different, I think, if you can have that harmony somehow.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it comes back to that sense of control.
Mm.
And it's, if I'm working 60 hours on something that I'm enjoying and I might compress it in like one weekend is crazy. And I don't really sleep and I do all this stuff. And at the end, I'm like, that was great. Let's do that again.
Mm.
You know, but it's reverting to that sense of, you know, I'm in control of this. I'm going to do the things that make a difference in the business. And a lot of the time that means having a relatively chill week and moving the needle forward consistently. And sometimes that means just going all out, going in for it.
Yeah.
But if you're 100%, 100 of the time, like things are going to crash and burn. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work for
you. Yeah. And like I always use the like exercise or things like that to kind of give it a picture. Because if you go and you're trying to, you know, get stronger, you're trying to build muscle, whatever it is. But if you're trying to build muscle and you're going like 200% all the time, you're maxing out all the time, you're pushing every single workout, like heavy, heavy weights every single workout, and continuously trying to increase that, you're going to get hurt. That's why, I mean, bodybuilders, they go through different stages of using lighter weight, of using, you know, body weight, of then doing the max or the heavy weight. You don't do that consistently, and they still have recovery times built in as well. Because you can't go full throttle, full out, 24/7, you know, 365. It can't happen, and that's why they build those like rest weeks, rest days in your workout schedule, so you don't over, you know, hurt yourself. I mean, there are things physically that rhabdomyolysis. I used to be an athletic trainer that if you work too hard for too long, your body will start to eat itself, your muscles will break down and your kidneys and stuff will start failing because you push too hard for too long. And so like,
yeah,
it's the same in business, same in life. Like you have to know when to push hard and when to like kind of get uncomfortable, quote unquote, but then know when to just be consistently
yeah.
have the right action, and then know when the recovery and rest has to happen. Like it's a beautiful dance, really, you know, business and life in general.
Yeah, and a bit like working out in the gym, having a spotter or a personal coach or something, having somebody external, they can say, hey, your form here looks a bit off.
Yeah.
You know, like if we just correct that up a little bit, it makes a big difference. And having somebody that can say, hey, like maybe it's time for a rest period, or it's time to really go for it, or we can push. Like we can add that bit of weight. We can do this little bit extra. Let's push. Let's do it. Having that external pair of eyes to help you do that makes a huge difference.
100%.
Makes it so much easier. It's crucial to reaching peak performance.
Yeah, and another to tie right into that is, you know, being in a gym where you have other people trying to do the same thing in their own time frame and their own levels, but supporting one another is such a crucial thing too.
Yeah, 100%. That sense of community, and you see other people, and it raises you to a next level as well. You know, you see, you get ideas, but also you're like, hey man, that guy's crushing it. Like, I can crush it too. You know, it becomes more real.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, and it's been a phenomenal conversation. I think a lot of people can take things away and start kind of breaking down what they have going on right now. Where's their time going? Where's their energy being drained or being sustained? And so, John, I appreciated everything you said during this episode. I appreciate you being on and sharing your time with us to be on here. So if you want to connect with you, find out more about you, your coaching, where's the best place for them to connect with you at?
Yeah, so you can find links to everything, including free resources and everything to get you started, on my website, which is johnjdmunn.com. So I'm sure you include a link in the show notes. I'll send everything over. So yeah, you can find it on my website, johnjdmunn.com. I'm on LinkedIn, which is /johnjdmunn. And I do a weekly newsletter as well, which is free, which is my best productivity tips. And it's always actionable. So something you can implement and actually do this week that will make a difference. And that's called Work Smart Wednesday. You can find that on Google or on my website.
Awesome. Yeah, everyone, if you're interested more, you want to connect with them, reach out, follow that link, get connected with John, and just continue to learn from him on how to be better with a productivity, not just busy, but productive and efficient. So, John, again, thanks so much for being on the Elevate Media Podcast today.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Thank you for listening to the Elevate Media Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. See you in the next episode.